Long past the hour for quitting labour, amid the smoke-filled haze of the south gate, the after-lodge crew continues to linger in the rubbish of the temple, under the watchful eyes of Right Worshipful Grand Censor Bob. Not recognised nor endorsed by any grand or subordinate lodge of regular masons, irregular masons, co-masons, Canadian masons, or internet wannabe masons, they banter on as always. Puffing cigars, drinking stale coffee, making terrible jokes, studying agency law, spreading the intemperance and excesses of digital masonry, and generally disappointing all 7 of their podcast subscribers. Do yourself a favour and stop listening now. Only trolls and masochists dare to eavesdrop upon this after-lodge banter.
I thought we'd started.
No, I was making sure everybody was ready, and then things were happening, and now we're going live. And
bring us in, Harlan.
Now we're live. Welcome to episode 295 of the After Lodge podcast. This is After Lodge Harlan, coming to you from after a long time, so far away. Joined once again by my partner in crime, the new daddy on the block, worshipless producer Bruce.
What's up, guys?
I guess you're not a new daddy anymore.
No, he's not.
I mean, he had his 4-month appointment today. So,
yeah, Harlan, you can call him daddy.
I don't know what the range is where it cuts out, but like he can't
depends on who you ask.
So he's still definitely a baby.
I'll say 3 months is the cutoff for when I stop calling you new daddy at every opportunity. I might still use it from time to time, but it's, you know.
Now he's the newest daddy.
Junior daddy.
Harlan, you can call me daddy any night you like, bud.
I already made that joke.
Oh,
yeah.
You gotta speak up.
We've also got Sir John.
Hi, kids.
And Hagrid is not with us. He's probably tending to some worshipful master nonsense of some kind or another. So instead we get Chuck. Hi, Chuck.
Yay.
Greetings and salutations, fellow losers.
Thank you for filling our worshipful master spot tonight. There's only one on the podcast now, so y'all are going to have to arm wrestle between shows. Can't handle two people throwing the gavel at us.
I was pointing out in the kitchen. I got 2 more meetings in annual, and I'm no longer a high priest for my chapter, and I can't wait.
Yeah, but that's the York ride. Nobody cares about that. We care about your other chair.
The important one.
My chair.
If it ain't blue, it's no good.
And that would be
that doesn't even rhyme, Jamie.
You hear in the background, fresh from actual lodge, so he's the only guy doing after lodge tonight. How was lodge, Jamie?
Very good. Very good. I thought it was going to be a short lodge and end up being a full night, which is kind of nice.
So did you bore anybody? Did you get a hat trick? Because the listeners can't hear it or can't see it because it's an audio thing.
You can hear the flow.
Jamie is rocking a full on Yarmur Yager style mullet.
You know, I've been really trying to not say anything because
I got the haircut yesterday.
You can't
still
say
there,
anything nice. Don't say anything.
You know, the sides are nice and clean. Anyway. You know, the top is nice and clean. I just got it cut yesterday, and I still got all this. Look at it.
Like, did you guys have time to the box for high
stick? Are you trying to look like Sonic the Hedgehog?
But just watch. When I shake my head, I actually can move my hair.
Oh, man. If you guys
see a mullet, it's Jamie.
But you physically can't.
Being home at 9 o'clock on a lodge night, he's in that weird time zone that I didn't know existed until we met Jamie. So it's actually after 10 his time. So
yeah,
I guess that's an okay time to be getting home from lodge.
Well, considering until next month, we can't do fellowship after or before. Yeah. But starting next month, all restrictions are lifted. We don't have to have masks. We can do fellowship before and after. We can actually start doing our degrees and ritual work because we can touch people again.
Crazy.
Phrasing.
I mean, I watched the.
I like to touch people, Chuck.
Canadian ritual.
I could touch people. I could touch people in whatever ritualistic way I feel like.
The State of the Union was last night, and our president said that COVID's over. So I don't know why Trudeau's so far behind there, buddy.
Yeah, New England said that a couple weeks ago.
He also said everybody needs to take their pajama pants off and get back in the office because New York City is hurting.
Their entire state's banning masks now, so I guess it is over.
Banning them or just removing the restriction?
Banning them. Didn't Texas ban them?
Well, it's Texas. They're worried that
Texas can't keep might their lights on when it snows. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, you know, when you want to be your own country, you got to step up.
Yep, you got to step up.
Feel free to secede whatever they like.
Well, I don't know, because there might be. Well, I know we promised not to go into European politics, but there's some parallels going on there as far as the
tenet. I believe we promised not to get into Asian politics. We didn't say anything about European.
Speaking of,
I see what you did there.
That's a well done.
I see what you did.
That's
there.
A point. Now, right, speaking case, of Asian politics.
Yeah, well, what I was
Asian politics is we can't talk about, Jamie.
The tenacity of Texans to defend their solo country is probably higher than you might think it is.
So, like, Texas is our Quebec.
Yeah.
Because Quebec wants to be their own country but keep the money too.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure that there's an abnormally high number of Texans, if given the chance, who would take up arms to push the Yankees out and beat them.
Yeah, but the problem is Quebec, Jamie, as much as complain about being French, is that they're not backed by the full faith and credit of the United States nuclear weapons.
No, they're not.
Neither
they have the baguette, missile. It's quite dangerous, yeah, but it's not really...
I got bad news for you, dude. That's...
Yeah, I don't think Texas is either.
That's not how that works.
That's my point.
Well,
I'm so confused. Okay,
I've lost.
So I am fresh on the other side of George Washington was a Mason Knight at our Scottish Rite Temple.
Oh Lord!
We have this annual tradition where we invite Master Masons. It's part recruiting effort, part just, you know, celebration of the craft dinner. And, you know, these guys come out and we actually open lodge on the third degree instead of in the Lodge of Perfection. And we do this presentation. A local lodge did a presentation of the third section of the Master Mason degree, which might be the finest rendition of that bit of ritual that I have ever seen. And I was kind of left flabbergasted, not just with the ritual work, but they've got their props. And I can't really get into the props because it's a public podcast, but I'll talk about them after the show. Just
wait, so sorry. In the Scottish Rite, your props are secret.
No, this was the third section of the Master Mason degree of like the regular craft lodge. It was.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was a local lodge that brought their gear out, and I didn't realize they had custom made their own gear for conferring this lecture.
Oh wow.
It's fantastic. And I visit this lodge frequently and had no idea, because they rarely do the third section of the Master Mason degree the same night as the degree itself. Partially because they do it so well and it takes a while, and so they don't want to start it at like 11 p.m.
Is this like what we would call around near me the Beehive lecture?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, because we use a magic lantern for that, like the old 1800s slides.
These guys built the full prop set, and it like condenses and packs into like there's a box.
That's pretty sweet.
There's a box, and if you've seen that degree, you know what the box is. There's a very big.
No, I've
box.
Seen that. I've seen that. No.
Yeah. So they built out the box with compartments in it for all the props to fit, and then there's wheels that go on the
box. That's cool.
And they haul it out, and it's but it's all like immaculately well done, because I guess they had some actual craftsmen in their lodge 30 years ago who really sunk some time into this. But before that, in dinner, we had the usual George Washington presentation.
Blah, blah, blah.
And I sat down with my cobbler for dessert as the speaker started. My eyes already rolled all the way back around once to hear about how George Washington was a Mason. And boy, was I impressed with what I got instead. I mean, it was still about George Washington because he was a Mason. And that's just generally disappointing at this point in my Masonic career. But the lecture, the guy they brought in, rather than talking the whole time, there was some of that stuff about George Washington, his Masonic career, but rather than that being the whole thing, he talked about philosophically the deification of George Washington, particularly in the 19th century. And some of it's the obvious stuff, right? The Capitol Rotunda and the apotheosis of Washington. You know, everybody's heard about that. But he had gone in because he's an artist. He actually teaches art at our local university. So he was bringing in sculptures and like the evolution of statues of George Washington from the 18th to the 19th centuries, and how it went from this accurate portrayal of the guy with the beer gut and the off jaw and, you know, the wrinkled forehead, the grizzled old statesman kind of look, and how it slowly evolved into being a literal Greek god.
Yeah, totally. And George Washington is Cincinnatus, the whole.
Yes.
Yep.
And all of these statues, and like he talked about the progression of it, which I hadn't seen before. It was kind of one of those things you kind of know, but it's different when someone's like showing you the evolution, like every decade of
layout.
Here's Washington in this decade, and then here's another one from this one. And that progression from like everyday guy like me and you into myth, legend, you know, Greco-Roman deity. And then he paralleled that to, you know, the more esoteric idea of man becoming God. And that's, well, y'all, that's kind of how it works. Like in the Egyptian sense is you die. And then if your memory is enough, you become a God over time. Which is kind of what happened to Washington.
Yeah. Which would also, by the way, would have annoyed the shit out of him.
It would have. It would have.
Considering most of his comments on things about that.
Hack. Yeah, so that was a pleasant surprise. I left tickled because I didn't sit through yet another rendition of George Washington was master of his lodge and this year, and here's the Masonic Bible that he was sworn in on. And yeah, that's normally what that night is.
This year
was really cool. And kudos to the guys who did that and put that together. There is a younger demographic that's taken over the Lodge of Perfection at my valley, and they've got new ideas and new ways of wanting to do things, and this is one of them, and it worked out really
well. So that's gonna get stomped out probably in about, you know, a year and a half. Right.
Maybe. So our new SGIG was he was there, and he's a big, you know, it had his blessing, and he was a big fan of how it all went down. So I think we might be okay.
Give it 18 months.
Because they weren't pushing right the way they did it. This was a guest lecturer talking about something. Well, even though he's a member of the Valley, right? He wasn't trying to institute a change to anything in how the Valley works. It was just, there's a speaker that night, like there always is. So I think it's the right rate of change, right? We changed right
rate of change
enough without ruffling too many feathers.
We've tried to change things too quickly.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
That worked out
all the time
really well. So I, Big Jeff was there. I was hoping he was going to be here tonight to, so I could rib him about. So when's the last time your York Rite chapter did anything like that? But
well, last week I conferred the Mark Master Mason degree on two new guys, which is the first time that we've done any work since before COVID. So thank you. And all the officers in their places did their part of the ritual. So again, I'm continuing my trend of doing things in my York Rite bodies of making the officers do their goddamn jobs. So you. And actually this coming up Wednesday, I'm going to be giving a lecture on the historical marks, through the cathedrals and the other buildings from the historical actual Masons. So again, go f*** yourself, Harlan. Because I do, we actually have pretty good education in my York Rite bodies that would probably make even the southern jurisdictions Scottish Rite cream themselves. So again, f*** you.
That doesn't take much. We're pretty edgy guys. We live on the edge.
You doesn't hear yourself often.
It's like it's tap tap. Well
played. You're about to go past the edge. You stop yourself.
Well played.
Wait a few minutes. You cool down. Yeah.
Yeah. Well played. You guys are the tantric mass mental masturbation.
Yep. It's part of our aesthetic. our practice. You know. You gotta.
Fair enough.
If you can't do it, you can't join.
Self discipline, man. It's important.
Yeah.
So then, after that, everything kind of went to hell. So we haven't done the show in a couple weeks. One of the main reasons being I had a large trial happening that was consuming my life.
Thankfully, Harlan's been given parole, and so he's back and able to record with us.
Yeah.
However, he is walking bow-legged.
Yeah.
With an ankle monitor.
We did all of this. It's the kind of case, you know, it involves very sensitive issues. So there's kids involved. It's a whole thing. Well,
yeah,
there's not kids anymore. There are now adults. The whole thing's just, it's gross. But we get there. And so I bring that up because jury selection, which if any of you have ever been on jury duty, is just a painful, long, arduous thing to begin with.
True story.
When you're dealing with a case like this, jury selection is far worse. For instance, the judge will ask a question like if anybody in the pool of 100 jurors has had a personal history with this type of thing. Well, normally that's just a thing where the attorneys sit at their tables and jurors like raise their hands and, you know, you call on them and they say, oh yeah, you know, I was mugged in college and blah, 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 or whatever. But when you're talking about an issue like this, you can't do that. So then there's just a line that has to form up and the white noise comes on as juror after juror goes up to talk to the judge with the lawyer standing off to the side to air things that they may have never told anyone else in their life. It's just very ugly. Point is, it takes forever. There's a lot of
why couldn't they just hold on. Like, okay, I'm going to throw this out there. If you asked me, do you have some sort of personal experience of this? All I should have to say is, yes, I do, and I'm not fit. And that should be it. Why should I have to share that shit?
Because this particular issue, Jamie, a lot of people may have never told a living soul that this.
Okay, not just that, but you should assume that a lot of people are going to want to get out of this just for the hell of it. There needs to be at least a modicum of not proof, but something.
Our standard here in at least in my state, and I think in the states at large, Jamie, is not that you've had experience with this issue. Because the next question that comes after that is, well, what happened? Or the judge is trying to get at, is this going to impact your ability
to be impartial?
To be impartial. Right. Exactly.
And so it's this long drawn. It took all day, right? We get to lunch, finally had a jury seated. And then we spend the lunch hour arguing over this last minute thing where the state wanted to include some things. They're opening because it's prejudicial. Anyway, my side lost that. And we get the jury seated after lunch, start the trial. About 6.5 minutes in to
it was that fast.
Yeah. A recording gets played that was not supposed to be able to be played. And next thing you know, we're up at the judge's bench moving for a mistrial, and so there was a mistrial after weeks of consuming life of all these people and putting the entire jury pool through that all morning, me driving an hour and a half away to where this trial is.
is there ever legal consequence for the side that causes that if it's egregious enough?
Not for the prosecution.
Yeah, only when it's the defense.
Only when it's the defense, because the defense is the one that has to.
If they do something egregious, I guess technically they could be held in contempt and possibly disbarred,
Harlan was saying how upset the judge is. Like, you would think if the judge himself or theirself upset, then
if the judge thought it was intentional, right? So that's the thing with the way most courts work.
It had to be. You said they did it on accident.
They did.
Bruce, they're public employees. The prosecution doesn't have to be smart.
Well,
I am a former public employee. You are, we, a bunch of us are, you've met your cohort, some of the people you work with. Right?
I'm a public servant. Hello.
Yeah. My experience has been that the
badges up on that wall that say fat and Satan. Yeah, no. Lowest common denominator.
And I mean, Bruce, yeah. The mail carrier. I mean, the milkman.
Have you seen Jamie?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, I mean.
Exactly.
Isn't the mullet? And it's
a lot of Jamie. I want.
I had a soul, you guys would have damaged it right now.
Oh god, I would.
Really I would have just sucked a little bit away.
He had a mullet on purpose, you all.
I wish I would have had the YouTube feed.
He didn't lose a bet,
screen so I could have locked
it. Wasn't an accident. Right. He went into the barber and said, "Shave the sides,
trim up the top, but leave all this."
Can you put some raisins on a couple of your front teeth? Do that again.
Business up, boom! Party backstage.
Oh shit!
Jesus!
Black a couple teeth out.
You know, I think the general rule of thumb in the States, Jamie, is that north of the Mason-Dixon line, you don't wear that haircut. I don't think that's
not true.
Northern Bruce, border I have to say of the right U.S. Now.
Point of order.
Okay, well, it at should work, be. It should work, be.
Look, I'm from Pittsburgh, lots of mullets, and where I'm in New England, I will say there are a lot of guys rocking mullets and porn star mustaches.
Anywhere
on ironically, and these are guys
who belongs in the South. Let's be honest here.
I couldn't do Joe Dirt. You're missing the hockey player thing.
I am the one and only time in my life I'm gonna come to Pittsburgh's defense, and here's why. Because Pittsburgh, outside of maybe football, baseball sure as hell doesn't count there, but it's a hockey town.
Yeah, no, it's
and the same here.
I neglected the hockey thing.
That's it.
The way the fans are, they probably are hockey. Like,
I wish you had something to do with hockey, but John. It does not.
Oh, see, like with us, like the state high school hockey tournament, there's like
there
is like the annual flow competition. Like it's broadcast on the local news of like the top 10.
I know, no, John. I've seen that. Let me say this. I have family members who would roll up in a black IROC.
I was just saying, in an IROC, right?
Z? I'm not done. Black IROC with their high school tassel on the rearview mirror, with the mullet,
starting with
rocking a BK Knights jacket while listening to Journey. And by the way, I'm getting
don't
in that car either. Every time.
Don't stop believing.
I don't know about Journey. Journey might be a little. How about like Whitesnake?
One, I do not apologize for my little Journey, so all you guys.
No, I'm not Journey. I'm not.
Special bog is getting low.
Mm.
Oh, you got that crystal lead. Have fun. Oh wait, no, the lead explains your haircut.
Yes, that's why his right eye is starting to wander in and look at the left one real close.
Pretty sure it's lead free, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's LED-free. LED-free.
Yeah, LED-free. There's no light-emitting diodes in this glass.
Exactly.
I love this vintage of scotch. It tastes like a pencil.
It tastes like water from Pittsburgh.
I didn't say Flint.
I was going to
say
Michigan. It's from Michigan. No, oh, it's the waters from any one of our Canadian reserves. Oh, wait, our Canadian reserves don't have water because we don't feel people need it.
We need to test everyone with a mullet for lead poisoning.
I thought you were selling it to California. Oh, wait, you can't because of pigs or something like that.
Pigs.
Yeah, California's got all kinds of their.
Yeah, California can't have bacon no more.
Canadian bacon.
Also in the news is the Masonic Restoration Foundation's annual conference that Jamie will be at with bells on is April 1st and 2nd and 3rd. Wait, yes. Whatever the last weekend, first weekend in April is.
In that magnificent city.
Yep. In the ruins of Detroit. So if any of you are planning on going, I guess drop us a line. I'll see if we can meet up or something. But
get my passport.
I'm going because I'm a bestest buddies with Chuck's bestest buddy, Brother Hammer. And We like to spend time together. Once
Jamie, let me know which point of entry you're crossing. I'll show up and I'll borrow you some sappy plates and a K-pot helmet for going into Detroit.
Yeah, you will need armament, and so.
Just remember, when you go from like car to cards, I'm up, they see me, I'm down. I'm up, they see me, I'm down.
Just so you know, there's just one APC. Depending on what that individual says at that session, anyone there might end up getting banned from every Grand Lodge in the United States.
So why?
Yeah, I'll be too busy almost getting kicked out of Knights Templar a week from tomorrow.
Believe it or not, wait, hold that thought, because what the hell? Believe it or not, Andrew doesn't, I mean, he always speaks at these things, but he's rarely like the central presenter. There's always other guys.
It doesn't matter. That. He has constant like foot in mouth. Like, that guy swallows his foot so far that he's licking his thigh.
I don't know. I mean, I do that all the time. I can't fault a man for saying things and trying to pull the words back in.
That's
No, but he
yeah, racist over there can't say anything.
He doesn't try to pull the words back in. That's his thing. He doesn't
do and it. That's why he gets to be the president of the association, and I don't.
And Arlene is also why he's banned from, like, about the people of color.
It's also why he's
the next thing you know, like, crowd of dumb monkeys.
He's banned from 12 jurisdictions right now, I think.
You know, you said that before. I've never heard that from anyone else.
12 different jurisdictions?
Well, Chuck's his best friend, Harlan. Who else true. Would know?
I mean, well, he tells you things he doesn't tell the rest of us. That's what it is. That's why you guys are best buddies.
It's what the ball gag's for.
You got a bunch of
used
them.
Ball gags.
No, it was like that. Okay.
Hey, you got to buy in bulk to save.
One for every mouth.
Chuck's motto. Anyway.
Chuck uses a new ball gag every week and just gives away his hand-me-downs.
We are past the... past the special discount rate on the hotel. I missed it myself.
So I get pack guys for gun parts. It's like ball gags and cats and nine tails.
Hey, it's 2022. King Shaming's wrong. You've been through HR training.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to king shame. I'm just saying the stuff that comes out of, I was about to say, the stuff that comes out of my box, and then that's just going to totally shoot me into a different wrong direction. I'm just going to be quiet.
Nope.
I win.
Moving on.
Your box might win.
Oh, jeepers, there's Jeff.
Move on.
Kurtman.
Move on.
Yeah, so, you know, I used to use a different type of mount to hold my phone here while we did this podcast all the time, right? And it's a rigid thing with a pole at the bottom, you know. So it was on the floor by the bed the other day. And I got out of bed at night and stepped on it and drove it up into my taint.
Also what she said.
Thank God.
Talk about a scare in the middle of the night when you're half asleep and you step down. The next thing you know, there's something driving into your taint. Oh, my God.
I don't even know how to.
I'm glad I went to mass before this and took off my collar and everything before we started, like, recording. Because wow.
It's kind of like a rake in the face, except you've got a
John, we're all going to hell by association at this point.
Well, I can be a chaplain in hell just as good as I've won here because I'm not a very good
one. We're going to need one, right? We're going to need one.
Someone trying to save our souls anyway.
Save.
Well, I don't know. That depends. Is Pat Robertson going to be upstairs or not? Because if he is, I think we'll just stay put.
I think the answer is he's got his own special room.
Yeah, it's rubber and has a jacket that makes him hug himself. Him and Ken Copeland. anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for showing up, Cartman.
Hey, yeah, I kind of forgot to. I was paying attention to it, and I kind of forgot to keep track of everybody else, because last I heard, we were still waiting on hearing from Harlan. And
yeah, we hate you too.
Not as late as you think you would be.
There's that. So. We are only 30 minutes in.
Wow, the timer.
You did miss all the talk about George Washington was a Mason Knight, so.
Hey, no, I didn't.
We have moved.
I was not here for it. Definitely didn't miss it.
Definitely didn't miss it. Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'd be missing work, Bob.
So, something that was talked about in Lodge with me tonight, going on to Ukraine, but in a Masonic situation of Ukraine. So, they have a country of about 4.something million, and they have 14 lodges, active lodges in the country, which is not very many compared to that many people.
Where do you get this information? I was trying to find this out.
My worship master found it. 44 million. I couldn't remember how many million it was. It was 4-something. So I knew it was way more than. Okay. So like, and you look at here, we have 14 lodges to 125,000 people. So they definitely don't have a whole lot of lodges, but even what he could find, there's no names. Like the statement that he found and this thing from their Grand Lodge, their worship master, their Grand Lodge, no names were given, nothing like that. He says, you know, it's not important what my name is. It's what my job is or whatever. Anyway, it's different. But
that's not uncommon for, so your continental European lodges are typically more secretive about that stuff because of things that happened in the 40s where, you know, the Nazis went around and, hung the Grand Secretary of the Grand Lodge, Grand Orient of France from the building because he wouldn't give him the roles. And then, of course, the former Soviet bloc countries, including the Russians, same thing where they are disinclined to really advertise their membership because
killed a lot more of our brothers
and had a really good chance of getting killed because of it.
Yeah, the
Russians killed a lot more of our brethren than the Nazis.
Yeah, by leaps and bounds. That was definitely a thing with all the countries behind the Iron Curtain, and even like Czech Republic is still that way.
Any communist country, period, right?
Well, pretty the Russians had a very weird,
they
have a weird history with
Masonry. Like Catherine the Great, liked Masons and hated Masons, like something like 4 times in her reign.
I love those months.
Russian Masonry is pre-Soviet, pre-Bolshevik Revolution is a mess, and then afterwards it got even worse. So, and I think the current Grand Lodge of Russia was like founded like 2006. Like it's not that old.
Yeah, they hit the reset.
I thought it was a little bit earlier than that, but yeah, it's definitely current millennium.
Yeah, it's so. Those old Soviet blocs, whether it's, the old Warsaw Pact countries, even if they're in the NATO or European Union now, are still very leery of.
Well, they're still very cognizant because they realize who their neighbor of the East is and realize.
And that's not to say that there aren't.
They're going to roll.
I think there's a whole lot more Masonic lodges than that, Jamie. They're just. Not official. Because when a new Grand Lodge springs up in a modern era, not every lodge that's still operating goes along for the ride, especially in a place like that. So I suspect there's a whole bunch of unaffiliated lodges that meet in someone's basement or wherever.
Although Romania is a little different because they're pretty out and about. And I know that because actually Romania Templar is under the governance of the Grand Encampment USA.
But that's also because they never stopped because of the fact, stuff that went back further than that with the whole Turkish invasions and stuff. So they were more receptive to them.
Yeah.
But in general,
And then, there's our brethren on the other side of the border too, right? There's plenty of Russian Masons who are swept up in this. And I say swept up because I get a rather clear impression that what's happening is not exactly popular among the Russian populace.
They have thousands and thousands and thousands of people demonstrating there.
Well, still, after they arrest them by that number daily.
Wasn't it 1,700 just in that first day?
And then there's
1,700 arrested when there's tens of thousands protesting. Like, it's a lot of people.
So maybe, you could cross your fingers and this has a different outcome because Russian people were, our brethren included, were already, ready to snap before this started. And maybe this is the straw that sparked them.
I mean, I don't even know how the government justified it to the people. Like, obviously, they didn't. Exactly. Yeah, so
they didn't even tell. Like, the number of Russian people had no idea anything was even happening in Ukraine until they heard the bombs in the distance.
In Ukraine or in Russia?
Well, in the Russia. Number of Russian people who didn't know anything was happening in the Ukraine because state media.
The thing I that thought our it was all was, over the media that they rolled in there to get the Nazis
over,
out.
All afterwards. Over our media.
No, after. Theirs.
No, it was.
I mean, he released the
after the fact.
That they came were, after.
Most of the soldiers were told that they were going on a training drill.
Oh, okay.
All of the Russian media
were told, "Buckle up."
The Jewish Nazi president of Ukraine. All that stuff was. That was right after things sparked and exploded. But that's the thing with state media. You can do stuff like that. You know, that thing that our government tries every day to get their hands on, that holy grail of big government. That's what happens.
Well, you know, to be fair, BBC is also state media. So
true.
I said our government.
Well, you know,
not James.
CBC.
But that's also why I watch like Sky News now.
I mean, all they got to do is get Mark Zuckerberg and they've got everything. Like, they've got the platform.
Control Zuckerberg, control the world.
Although, you know, the Germans have that DW state station that I find surprisingly helpful when I want to know what's happening somewhere else in the world and I don't trust our three-letter news agencies. I think I'd trust my son telling me what's happening in the world more than CNN, NBC, MSNBC, FOX, etc. So, I've been looking at them a lot. They have insightful coverage of things, and they're not concerned with how it makes the American president look,
right,
or whichever party before an election, because, you know, Germans.
They have no investment, not at all.
And I don't care about the spin to make German officials look better or worse, because I don't care about them. So it's been like my perfect solution. Then I kind of live on DW now.
The two that I watch, I'm the similar thing. And the two that I've now come to watch are Sky News out of the UK. Cause it's not the BBC.
I thought they were Australian.
You know what? They might be, but everything
Sky, I'm pretty sure is. SDR,
which is
Australian, British. So she can't tell
like,
the difference.
That's like Canadian British, Australian British, right, Irish British. It's all British.
Oh, come on now. I don't sound like
I prefer Irish and British. Come here. No, I watch either Sky or I watch, of all things, actually Al Jazeera English, because it's out of Qatar. And if it's not involving the United States, pretty trustworthy. If it is, meh, I'm 50-50 on them. But
even our media,
it usually is still trustworthy when it's involving the United
it's
States.
It's not bad, but that's why I watch the two of them. Is you compare the two newscasts, and between the two of them, you'll figure out what's going on while shutting off a few little bit.
There can't be a newscast out there that's not biased to a degree, but that's based on the, you know what I mean?
We need to start a news agency. We really do.
You know, everybody that does this. It's not a bad plan. If you take off, you're going to get bought out for a lot of money, and it's going to be great. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Welcome to FYEW News. F-U. Next up, the weather.
The weather. It's cold as a mother. Oh, wait, you're not in Canada.
Next up, both are Fat Guy Chuck. Take it away, Jer.
How about the weather again, Jamie? No one.
It's cold as actually, it's...
Definitely yeah, not mullet cold. Weather.
It's July 2nd, Jamie.
No, the mullet keeps the back of my neck warm.
Yeah, the side of your head gets cold.
That's how he keeps the geese
but
off.
The side of my head would be cold anyway, because I keep that. Even if we didn't have the mullet, I'd still have shaved sides.
You cover your ears. That's the best thing about having long hair. My hair covers my ears now, and it's fantastic.
Isn't that what those floppy-eared hats are for?
Exactly. I mean, that's what toques and proper hats are for. I've already showed you my floppy hat.
Can you wear the mullet with the Elmer Fudd hat? Does the hair like push the back flap up so then it like?
All it is you got. I've never tried. Each side and then the flap at the back—they're all equidistant.
I feel we're going to get flagged for too much talk about Jamie's floppy parts.
Hold on. Let's just see if it works.
This is why we're getting flagged, because he's putting on his freaking Unabomber hat.
Look at mullet. The mullet comes out the back, baby. Look at it.
Bomber documentary.
Yes. What about that, Bruce? You don't like my hat?
It's too short in the back.
No, because then you got a collar in your jacket.
Right? Jimmy, the fact that you're currently flying a B-27 right now
I got little ear flappies, you know, so I can let some
more
sound.
That's what I was going to ask. Did you guys ever watch that old show, Black Sheep Squadron?
I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
About the pilots and it was these guys, island pilots. I didn't watch a lot of it, but there was one character who was one of the plane pilots, and he looked just like that. And he was the one that, like, everybody just thought was going to die every episode because he was an imbecile. And he ended up being one of the ones that survived the war, because while he was an imbecile, he was also, like, the best pilot we had by far.
I bet you he was Canadian.
No.
With the flappy hat.
From Nebraska or something.
He learned to make fun of him
because of his mannerisms and his, you know, Midwestern goofiness and... But then when they got in the air, nobody was making fun of him. So
he learned to fly. They shot their asses down. His flying squirrel through Beggar's Canyon.
Canadian
geese.
Yeah. Great. So I'm on the other side of this trial in George Washington night, so I don't actually know what's going on in my Masonic life anymore.
You've been kind of in a box for a while.
Yeah, we got the Scottish Rite reunion again this weekend, so...
Yeah, you should go there, Chuck, and see how, like, the actual degrees are done with the right jurisdiction.
We're not the place to go. You should, should go to Oklahoma if you want to see that.
Yeah, no, I'm taking a guy, an EA from my lodge to another lodge tomorrow night for his fellow craft degree, because we've just been so swamped with candidates and everything that we need to... Because in my part of in my jurisdiction, where I am, lodges are having trouble doing the degree work right now. Not because we can't do the degree work, because we have so many damn guys knocking on our door and passing their proficiency so quickly that we have to, like, actually rely on each other, which is nice. So
we're doing pretty good for Blue Lodge, or we're doing as well as we can be for Blue Lodge here, but. Like for York Rite, we've had we just lose people by attrition because they got to go through so many hoops.
We had a festival late last year,
just picked up like 15 or 18, and we're getting like 6 of them in Commandery. So we just
Commandery's all. I'm not going to get into some of those issues.
I agree.
That's a can of worms is not worth opening.
Well, I mean, at least they're not going only to Commandery and then never showing up to chapter or council again, because that seems to be what happens with half of them that join my chapter.
See, up here we have the shrine.
Cosplay in your chapter, and then...
We have the shrine. We have cosplay. It's called degree work.
Facts.
Are there swords and chainmail, though?
Yes.
Oh, well, then I don't know.
Sign up for Jeffrey? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
You mean like cosplay, like you show up dressed like Goku?
Well, in this case, you show up dressed
not
like
if there's chainmail.
I mean, you wear the little helmet that makes you look like a walking pleasure.
Yeah, we got, there's lots of, York Rite got a lot of costumes. But it's
familiar.
I caught that.
Costumery.
And I doubt any of them are spiky haired Japanese boys.
No, we got some of those guys in my York.
No, but York being what it is you could probably invent a.
You could do an invitational body.
Yeah, see,
called the anime crew.
The
anime cross.
The Ride of Goku.
You know, you guys
order of Kenshi Muyo and yeah.
I've been working on an imaginary degree based on Jason the Argonauts for giggles and. I show some guys and some guys are like, oh, we, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to physically give this to you because this is how a divinational body gets created.
The fact that you don't get this with a joke is the problem.
Well, no. That's right. The invitational body shows up.
My problem is, that's just... well, one, Harlan, you're right. And two, the one is like, yeah, I'm going to write the ritual for this invitational body. It is somehow going to be taken from me, and I will not be invited to the own body that I created.
That sounds like something that would happen to me.
That's like the history of your life.
That is definitely something that... Jamie. That is definitely... like.
That actually happened in my professional law enforcement career, so I feel for it. Like,
you may in fact be the closest human I've ever met to Charlie Brown.
I'm not going to move the football this time, Chuck. It's okay.
You know, guys, if I had a heart...
Well,
I feel something right now.
With Jamie's haircut, he gets to be Peppermint Patty because...
She's got that little flip. She's got a little flip.
No, I was going to say, you look the closest to being a lesbian. So, I mean, I'm just going with that one.
Well, now see, I felt bad for being mean, but now I don't anymore.
So, Harlan's blindness.
Thanks, John. Bruce, I've always looked out for you, buddy.
And by the way, John, just so you know, you're pig pen.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all right.
Oh, my.
I figured I'd end up being Schrader or Woodstock.
I think that's all she wrote, Harlan.
I have my shirt instead of a blankie. I guess that works.
Hey, you might get this one up in like a month and a half.
Yeah, I got to get it out before the MRF conference so people will know I talked about it.
Or well, before the last episode that you nice. Still didn't get to post.
Yeah. Did you miss the part about the life-consuming trial that ended in edging?
Going back
to that for a quick second, sorry, I meant to ask a question by the end of that.
About how edging works, we'll talk about that after the show.
No, they submitted it, or they played it, and they weren't supposed to play it.
Jamie, he can talk about this after the show.
Because it wasn't submitted to you beforehand in the trial, or there was information in it that just shouldn't be released.
Yeah, it's that.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. I was wondering if it was just procedural or if it was information.
We're trying to keep Harlan.
Definitely information that should not be released.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to take it any further than that. That's it.
Both that case and this show.
You're not the producer here, Chuck. Are we done, Bruce?
Are we done?
Don't me for trying to save your ass, Harlan.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't ask the question.
I put on the Slack channel. I'm surprised you're not going after my jurisprudence decision that I put on the Slack channel.
I can't see Slack while I'm in here.
I looked at it.
So you just now did this while we were in the show, John. So I haven't read it.
Well, because I just finally got it signed and sent off. We were like doing the preamble for the show. Because I asked everybody to get back to me, and like enough guys got back to me where I could like stamp the decision and shoot it up the food chain. But yeah, no, it's my favorite like Kensington Runestoner.
Oh,
I'll be able to talk about it like maybe in future episodes. But like soon as we start recording,
statute of limitations has run out at the crime.
No, like soon as we started recording, I'd send the decision to the Grand Commander and our Grand Recorder. So like, if we haven't read it, I'm betting they haven't. And I think it might be out of order if I start talking about the decision.
I thought you were going to say someone took a jackhammer to the Kingston Runestone and it was all in rubble.
It's just contact the family. They'll just make, you know, take up a new one. I mean, discover a new one. I'm sorry. Was that out loud?
Well, all right. I guess we'll put a lid on it then. All right, well, thank you for listening to episode 295, the late night special of the After Lodge podcast, even though it's not as late as we sometimes go. We started super late. You can find the show notes for this or any previously published episode at www.afterlodge.com. I know you don't need the www anymore. It is 2022, but I'm trying to keep things simple for our elder brethren. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter at After Lodge. Shoot us an email at afterlodge@gmail.com. Hang out with Jamie and sometimes Jeff on IRC at irc.snoonet.org/Freemasonry. You can find Chuck on Reddit as the King of No Pants. You can't find Bruce on Reddit, but if you do, you win.
I mean, you can. I'm just eight screen names down.
Special prize.
Eight screen names.
Me, well, just I don't have a presence anymore. Can't kill that which has no life. So, take care, brothers. We will see you next week. Hopefully, the world will still be holding itself together, and maybe some good news will be coming to our brethren and the rest of humanity.
Hopefully.
In Eastern Europe / Asia. Bruce. Good night, brothers.
Later.
Slanja.
Toodles.
See ya.
Good day.
I need a drink.
Keep your stick on the ice.